Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
Amid the wave of campus protests in support of the Palestine Liberation Movement, one intrepid reporter decided to ask an NYU student protester just what exactly she was protesting. Here is her response.
What would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh. I came from Colombia. I was there off of Colombia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
What are we protesting? I'm glad that this girl clarified that she is not an NYU student. She is only visiting NYU to protest after traveling downtown from Columbia because it takes an Ivy League education to be that ignorant. As is usually the case, most of these people are not protesting anything in particular. They're just sort of protesting, as they do more and more these days. But the protests demonstrate more than merely the ignorance of the protesters. We are seeing ever more of these demonstrations over ever more confusing grievances because the political order here is fraying. People feel, rightly or wrongly, that the governing powers are unaccountable. They feel that the political order is unintelligible. They can't make sense of it, and they can't do anything about it. So they yell and scream until they are dragged away, or more likely, just get tired and go home. Move on to the next thing. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. There is a report out that Kanye West is planning to launch a pornography studio. Very, very unfortunate. We will get to that in just a moment. First, though, go to goodranchers.com, promo code Knowles. Are you tired of your favorite cut of beef or chicken costing more, but weighing less and less? Well, Good Ranchers has a solution with their price lock guarantee. During their April price shield campaign, Good Ranchers is not just offering a temporary fix, but a long-term solution. Subscribe to one of their boxes and they will lock in your price until 2026. GoodRanchers.com is where I get the most tender, flavorful, juicy, delicious meat with options including beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood. It's just unbelievable. Their recipes will take your cooking skills to the next level. I had two nights ago, I had nice, juicy, delicious Good Ranchers steak for dinner. Then I got to have the leftover steak for breakfast with my eggs, sweet little Elisa made me. It's unbelievable. The quality, you're simply not going to beat it anywhere. And the price, you're not going to beat it anywhere. How does Good Ranchers do it? I have no idea. And they're going to lock in your price for a very long time, even with the crazy inflation. It's an amazing, amazing company and an amazing, amazing cut of meat. Go to goodranchers.com, use promo code Knowles. You'll get their exclusive price shield and an additional 10% off your order. This offer ends at the end of the month, so if you want to secure your best price on meat until 2026, go to goodranchers.com, use code Knowles. Goodranchers.com, promo code Knowles today. The bull ring on that girl, never a good sign. For those of you who are only listening, that student protester from Columbia, she had a nose ring, but it wasn't even the little nose ring on the side of your nose, which if it's a little dot or even the ring itself, it's kind of, can sometimes be kind of cute. It's not, you know, not, it's okay. Sometimes it's okay. But the one that is truly never a good sign is the ring right in the middle of the nose, like a bull, like bulls have, you know, and I notice the real leftists, the real angry, lost, wayward, down the path to misery kind of leftist girls, they have the middle nose ring and not good. Like, there's something about it that's kind of demonic seeming to me. I'm not saying they're, they look like bulls being dragged around by their slave masters. Not a good sign. And then she opened her mouth and proved that prejudice correct. Now, speaking of America and the world, there's a poll out, I teased it yesterday at the end of the show, that asks voters what percentage of them think that the U.S. has control over its borders. And just think what number that might be. If the number were 50%, that is not great news for Joe Biden. 50% say that he, as president, won't even enforce the most basic laws of a country. Ooh, that's not good. But it's not 20%, and it's not 40, and it's not 30. Just 20% of eligible voters think that the United States has control over its borders. This according to a survey taken by Redfield and Wilton Strategies on behalf of Newsweek. Bad news. There is no way for Democrats to make up that gap. The border is a big issue. It's a top, toward the top of the priority list for a lot of people. And there's no way between now and November to go from 20% think we have control over the borders to 60%. It just can't happen. So the only strategy for Democrats is to focus on other issues. This is something that I have encouraged my Republican friends and fellow conservatives to take note of. Democrats are very good at politics. They're very crafty, and they don't fight hopeless battles, and they don't tilt at windmills generally. They recognize if they're weak on something, if they have a major vulnerability like on the border, you're not going to win by doubling down and explaining why actually it's really good to have a totally open border, or actually the millions of foreigners pouring into our country each year don't really exist. That's not really happening. These are not the droids you're looking for. Or actually, they don't do that. They just focus on other things. They point over there. They say, look at that butterfly. Look at abortion. Hey, everybody, go look at abortion. Hey, everybody, go look. Donald Trump's going to prison. Hey, everybody, look. There was an insurrection. No one to hold them, no one to walk away, no when to run. So this is an issue that the Republicans should be pummeling. If we have any sense, we know this issue matters to people. We know the Democrats are basically could not be in a worse position on the issue. The only way they can get out of it is by turning people's attention away from it. Unfortunately, a lot of Republicans and conservatives are going to let them do it. Don't let them do it. Keep that attention on the border. Now, speaking of the border, new report out from the Boston Globe, several illegal aliens who were flown by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis up to Martha's Vineyard. You remember that last year, all the illegal aliens pouring into the country, DeSantis and Governor Abbott in Texas decide, okay, well, we're going to make the Democrats feel the pain of illegal immigration. We're going to send them to not just New York and Chicago, we're going to send them to Martha's Vineyard. Actually, before Governor DeSantis or Governor Abbott did this, years ago, Senator Ted Cruz was calling for this. He said, I want to fly these illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard, to Cape Cod, to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, which is where Joe Biden lives. You know, the Democrats don't need to feel the negative social consequences of illegal immigration most of the time. You got to make them feel it. So DeSantis and Abbott do it as governors. And now we find out that several of these illegal aliens have been granted crime visas. So they've been granted visas. They're allowed to stay here. And specifically, they've been granted crime visas, which I guess makes sense because they committed crimes and now they get visas. That's how crime visas work in America, I guess. The way that the liberal establishment tells us crime visas work is if you are here and a crime is committed against you, you can get a special visa because of that. It's technically called a U visa. Typically, quote, set aside for victims of certain crimes who have suffered mental or physical abuse and are helpful to law enforcement or government officials in the investigation or prosecution of criminal activity. Totally, totally ridiculous. The suggestion here is that they've suffered abuse. They've suffered some crime because what? Because Ron DeSantis chartered an airplane and sent them to one of the nicest places in America with some of the highest property values? No. No, they're getting these special visas just after they leave the really nice areas, right? Those Democrats who are welcoming the illegal aliens across the border, they got them out of Martha's Vineyard within 48 hours. Oh, we love you. Please come give us your poor huddled masses. Not here. No, not here. Over there. come, please. We want you. You're welcome. No human being is illegal over there. Over there, about maybe like 10 miles down the road from my beach house, but not here. Not on the beach. I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to throw you into the ocean, actually, if you come anywhere near my beach house. But now that you're over there, now that you're far away and others, especially red state and purple state governors have to deal with you, yeah, now you get your visa. That's what they do. And they're going to keep doing it, and they're going to use every little trick in the book, including now the U visas, the crime visas. They suffered the crime of law enforcement trying to enforce the law. Speaking of not having control over our political order, another study out from the Media Research Center showing with detail all of the times that just Facebook alone has interfered in U.S. elections. So I've mentioned this before amid all the liberal claptrap about how the Russians are meddling in the election to help Donald Trump with all the meddling and the election rigging and blah, blah, blah. It's the libs who do it, and far more than the Russians have ever meddled in the election. What did they do? They spent $100,000 or $200,000 in Facebook ads in the 2016 election. Facebook itself spent $400 million in the 2020 election and invested that in left-wing groups that then took really tangible steps to rig the election, including moving ballot drop boxes, in some cases illegally far away from county clerk offices, and in Mark Zuckerberg's own words, really putting the thumb on the scales of the election to make sure Trump did not get reelected. So we know that this happens. We have some examples come to mind, like in 2020 when Facebook dumped hundreds of millions of dollars into it. But now the Media Research Center is giving us the goods. 39 distinct times Facebook interfered in U.S. elections since 2008, which we'll get to in 1 second. First, though, go to helixsleep.com/Knowles. I love my Helix mattress. It is a gift that keeps on giving. You know, I've mentioned that I recently switched my eldest son out from his crib to his first bed. He's becoming a big, big boy, and he's going to be a big spoiled boy because his first bed is a beautiful Helix bed. What kind of kid gets a nice Helix twin bed? You can get any of these sizes. You can make sure that it is made specifically for your sleep preferences. If you have not already checked out the Helix Elite Collection, you need to. Helix harnesses years of mattress expertise to offer a truly elevated sleep experience. The Helix Elite Collection includes 6 different mattress models, each tailored for your specific sleep positions and firmness preferences. Helix has a sleep quiz that matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress and a 10-year warranty, and you can try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They will pick it up if you don't love it, but you will love it. They've got financing options, flexible payment plans. Head on over and save 20% just for my listeners off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows. HelixSleep.com/Knowles, Canada BLAS. HelixSleep.com/Knowles. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. Helix means that better sleep starts right now. So a really good report. I encourage you to go check it out on MRC. In 2012, Facebook suspended a veteran political action committee because they posted a meme drawing attention to the attack on Benghazi that the Obama administration mishandled, totally flubbed, allowed to happen, I guess, and then lied about. And so a veteran PAC posted a meme, just a little meme about it. They suspended that PAC. 2016, Facebook censored Bernie Sanders, then something of a real challenge to Hillary Clinton for the Democrat nomination for president, just censored him outright, censored conservative topics and news. I was here at the time. That was right around the time Daily Wire started up. We experienced this. I mean, I saw this part really firsthand. And it hurt not only conservatives, but it hurt any opponent to the liberal establishment, including Bernie Sanders. 2018, Facebook censored multiple candidates for Congress and state legislatures, removing ads for my own senator here, Marsha Blackburn, for Matt Rosendale in Montana, for Michigan State Senate Republican candidate, for President Trump, and on and on. 2020, we know what happened in 2020. Obviously, the censorship went through the roof, and then separately, Mark Zuckerberg was spending a ton of money to rig the election. In 2022, Facebook censored lots of gubernatorial candidates and candidates for U.S. Congress. Were they, 50-50 Republicans and Democrats? No, they were focusing on Republicans, and on and on. Go check it out. There are 39 really good examples here. The takeaway for conservatives and Republicans is that power does not go away. you can't make power go away. There are some people, especially who are a little more libertarian minded, who just, they say, we got to take this power away from the government. We got to stop these powerful actors from putting their thumbs on the scales. Power doesn't go away. Power is conserved. You know, like in physics, you learn that energy is always conserved. Power is always conserved. The question is just, where is it going to go? So when we limit what government and what candidates can do, the power doesn't just disappear. You hear the libertarian harangues against big government. When we talk about government, by the way, we should talk about governments. There's the federal government or the state governments, county governments, overlapping sorts of layers of government, different branches of government. When we limit what those governments can do and what the candidates can do and how much money the candidate political action committees can raise and how they can spend that money, the power just goes somewhere else. In this case, the power, when you take the power away from the candidate political action committees, just goes to super PACs. And the super PACs are technically not allowed to coordinate with the candidates. They kind of do. I mean, they try not to. They try to stay on the good side of the law, but it's very, very blurry and ambiguous rules. It goes there, and then the power goes to private corporations. So we say, okay, good. The government can't be too involved in these elections. Oh, good. And those politicians, they can't be taking too many donations. Okay, well, now Mark Zuckerberg's going to control our elections. Is that better? I don't think that's better. Mark Zuckerberg is just about as liberal as our liberal established government order, and he's much less accountable. And he's one guy. That's a lot of concentrated power. If we're going to have a monarch, at least give us a monarch. At least give us a guy with some dignity who's trained for this, who has a sense of, you know, I don't know, God and the moral order and the political tradition and history. Don't give us some nerd from Silicon Valley who's made himself emperor of the country. There's going to be power. There's going to be power. Stop. This is kind of like the argument we were all having over free speech a few years ago. You got to just recognize that the fight is, it's not even on the same axis that you're looking at. People always thought the fight between over free speech was between free speech and censorship. It's not. The point of my book Speechless was to say, actually, just look at a different axis. It's a fight between one set of standards and norms and another set of standards and norms. The same is true here. The battle for our political order is not between a really powerful political order and a weaker political order more conducive to liberty. The amount of power that there is static at any discrete moment. The question is, where is the power going to go? You got to look at a different axis here. Is it going to be in the hands of the government? Is it going to be in the hands of private corporations? Is it going to be in the hands of political candidates? Is it going to be in the hands of outside political consultants? Where's it going to be? You've got to strike whatever the right balance is. And right now, it's totally off balance and it favors the libs. Speaking of this kind of anti-Trump activism, Fox News, ostensibly conservative right-wing cable news channel, at least it was considered that way for many years, probably not considered so much that anymore. Fox just aired an ad attacking Donald Trump.
I was wondering if you guys are hiring right now.
I was thinking about applying for a job.
Yeah, I was thinking about applying for a job here.
I'm currently facing 88 felonies.
For detention of classified information.
Do you all take people that have been found liable for sexual assault?
Trying to overturn the 2020 election.
Falsifying business records.
I was wondering if that was going to be a problem.
Working with diamonds and jewelry.
They're going to do a background check.
Yeah.
So that's the only.
So probably not.
Yeah.
So did you guys hire people that have been found liable for sexual assault or?
No. We want a full background.
Okay.
No, we don't.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Donald Trump has been charged with 88 felonies and found liable for sexual assault. If Trump is too big of a liability to get a job at your local mall, he is too big of a liability to be president of the United States. Republican Accountability PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Really insidious ad and ironic for a few reasons. First of all, at the same time that the libs are running this ad, they are simultaneously saying that we need to prevent employers from discriminating against criminals, convicted criminals, in their hiring process. At the very same time, we covered a story on this, I think, 2 days ago on the show. The libs are saying it's discriminatory. There's a disparate negative impact on minorities, people of color. if you take into account the criminal record of job applicants. It's wrong. It's discriminatory. It's evil. We can't do that, even though they've been convicted of all sorts of crimes. Oh, but Donald Trump's been charged with 80 bazillion crimes by every Democrat politician in America. Cast him to St. Helena. to Elba goes he. It's not a question of how we treat criminals in our society. It's that when the criminals are not Donald Trump, when the criminals are liberal rather than conservative, we let them off the hook. When the criminals are black, brown, and all sorts of colors, and not white or orange, I suppose in this case, we just let them off the hook. When the criminals are women or sexually confused rather than straight men, we let them off the hook. It has nothing to do with the crime itself. But furthermore, they say Trump has been charged with these crimes. He hasn't been convicted of anything. He hasn't been convicted of a single crime. Well, yeah, but we wouldn't hire him to work at the diamond store. We wouldn't hire him to work at the restaurant. Okay. Well, explain something to me. Why is Donald Trump still polling roughly on par with, according to some polls, even a little higher than the current president of the United States? Why, if this is so bad, if Donald Trump is really this awful criminal and we would never hire him to mop the floor at a restaurant, why is he still a major challenge to Joe Biden? Why does it look like he could be reelected? Because that huge number of charges, of felonies that he's accused of, helps him. As I've said from the beginning, it's bad, it's sad, it's awful that our political order has been made to look like this and the Democrats are responsible for it. It's very sad. The number helps him. If he were only charged with one crime, maybe it would stick. Two crimes, maybe they would stick. 88 felonies, it just looks like a witch hunt, which it is. Four prosecutions across all these different layers of government all around the country for what? For crimes no one even can really understand, the things that we knew about. He made an in-kind contribution to his own campaign and paid off a porn star allegedly, even though she said that he didn't. And what? Huh? So we wouldn't hire him for any. It's just so obviously disingenuous. And when polling on this question has been done, a clear majority of Americans, the vast majority of Americans, recognize this is a political persecution. So I hope they keep running these ads. Call attention to it. We were talking earlier about how when you're in a political fight, it's not only about your substantive views on the issues, but it's even about which issues you're talking about. Focusing on the trials and tribulations of Donald Trump, the criminal prosecutions, which are really a political persecution, that helps Trump. There's so much more to say. First, though, go to jpcatholic.edu/Knowles. The lib-controlled universities and entertainment establishments are two of the biggest battlegrounds for the health and sanity of our culture. John Paul the Great Catholic University in Escondido, California, offers a non-woke alternative. JP Catholic offers programs in film production, animation, screenwriting, music, design, and even video games, forming the next generation of creative professionals who will bring truth, beauty, and goodness to the entertainment industry. If you are not looking for a degree, but you want to sharpen your skills, JP Catholic also offers free online courses. Right now, JP Catholic is offering our listeners a full application fee waiver at jpcatholic.edu/Knowles, KNWLES. Applications are still open for this fall with generous scholarships available. Pursue excellence in your creative craft without sacrificing your values. Go to jpcatholic.edu/Knowles, KNWLES. That is jpcatholic.edu/KNOWLES. It has been 2 years of fighting the left with great products from Jeremy's Razors. They are only getting better. Jeremy's second-gen razors are here. You'll notice the totally reconstructed ergonomic handle for superior durability and improved coated stainless steel blades that last longer. Plus, enjoy more flexibility for a close shave without nicks or cuts. For those who meticulously craft their masculine look, introducing Jeremy's new Precision 5 razor, transformed with a precision trimmer and enhanced comfort thanks to the improved lubrication strip. If shaving feels like a chore, meet the brand new Sprint 3. An open blade geometry for a swift, clean shave, allowing you to get back to your manly pursuits in no time. Razors made right. Progress that isn't progressive. Head on over to jeremysrazors.com to upgrade to your new second-gen razor today. Speaking of large numbers, Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate, you know Andrew Tate. He's this guy who he became wealthy running a webcam porn business. And he's charged with sex crimes in Romania because, according to prosecutors, he kept these girls, you know, under his eye and in his house and forced them to do all these weird sex things on camera and then kept a lot of the money. And he kind of bragged about some of this stuff, but he denies some of the charges. And he's just, he's one of these guys, one of these self-help gurus who says, you know, I drive really nice cars and I got a ton of money and I sleep with a lot of chicks. And so he's a very, very polarizing figure. He converted to Islam. So people have all sorts of views on Andrew Tate. My main takeaway from Andrew Tate is he's a very impressive internet influencer. Forget about all of the other, the awful sex stuff and the charges and the materialism and Islam and all that. He just is really good at keeping people's attention. He's really good at getting people to, even if they hate 99% of the things that he says and does, the 1% they'll agree with, and then it'll another group he'll irritate, and he just keeps people's attention. Well, he got people's attention yesterday when he made a tweet that aroused a lot of ire. He said, sex is for making children. Any man who has sex with women because it, quote, feels good, is gay. Oh my, I'll clean up some of the language, make it a little more elevated for this family show. Oh my, phallus feels good. This is great. In fact, if you are 40 with less than 5 children, you're probably gay. All that feel-good phallus sex and hardly any genetic legacy. And then actually readers added a comment. They said having sex with women is straight. Actually, I hate to disagree with Community Notes. I hate to have to agree with Andrew Tate over the cumulative wisdom of Twitter here. Tate is pretty much right, I think. This is a view that has been articulated in the past by great philosophers and ethicists, including the late great philosopher Norm Macdonald.
In regular life, that's why sex is so tough to get going, because it's so shameful and filthy and obviously meant only for procreation. And so when you get...
You know, and kind of, it's 20% exaggerated, 20% hyperbolic. Bring me back to the Andrew Tate tweet. I want to see the exact wording here. It's very precise. Sex is for making children. Fact check, true. That's what it's for. That's what marriage is for. It's for the begetting and education of children. So it's not enough just to make them. You also have to raise them, which is why children have a right to be the product of the specific conjugal act of their parents, who are joined together in holy matrimony, which is a union for life, the union oriented toward the education and begetting of children, and also, as a secondary aspect, the mutual support of the spouses. Now, Andrew Tate might not have fit all of that into the 280-character limit, but he says sex is for making children. That's true. That's what it's for. It's a very Aristotelian view. That's the telos of the sexual act. There are incidental aspects to it. Oh, it feels good. Oh, you know, it's a way to pass the time when the cable goes out. Oh, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. But that's what it's for. You know a thing by what it's for. The leftist tears tumbler is for bringing delicious leftist tears into my body. The microphone is for transmitting my mellifluous dulcet tones to your ears. And sex is for making children. Totally true. Any man who has sex with women because it, quote, feels good is gay. He's obviously making a joke here and it's kind of hyperbolic. But the point he's making here is a point I actually made quite earnestly on the Iced Coffee Hour podcast some months ago. And the hosts, who are lovely guys, but they were kind of shocked by what I said. They took issue with my use of the term gay and the point that I was making. But I said, no, I'm using the term specifically because I'm using it in the sense that sterile sexual relations are gay. And gay relations are sterile. I don't mean it in any, you know, judgy way or to even to be needlessly provocative. I'm just saying that's what distinguishes normal, healthy sexual relations that are ordered toward their natural ends from all the other kinds, whether you're talking about, you know, a couple of dudes, a couple of chicks, 3 dudes and a billy goat, you know, a whole village, some bacchanal in ancient Rome or whatever. That's the difference. One is fruitful. Or at least, it's a fallen world, so, you know, people suffer infertility, but it's either inclined toward fruitfulness or it's just sterile and for pleasure. And the former is good and natural and oriented toward family and marriage. And the other is gay. Yeah, that's true. Then he kind of mocks this idea, oh, you know, my genitals feel good. This is great. Yeah, that's true. If you just live for your own personal pleasure, your base appetites, that's going to be shameful. That's not going to satisfy you in the long run. It's not going to be very productive and edifying. He goes, if you're 40 with less than 5 children, you're probably gay. This is a funny line in that. Now, I don't think statistically that's literally true, but we used to have a lot of kids and now we don't. And that shift is a shift away from giving of oneself totally to one spouse and totally to one's commonwealth and totally to the common good and totally to one's society, because we're the social animal, and turning away from that toward just making everything about your own personal pleasure, which is decadent. That's a decadent thing to do. No genetic legacy. Well, it's even more than a genetic legacy. The genetics is the physical representation of the legacy, but there's more. There's a cultural legacy. There are the memories passed across the generations of a family. You know, there are the family heirlooms. There's a tradition. There's all of that. Absolutely. Between Community Notes and Andrew Tate, he's not 100% correct, but he's about 97% correct here. Now, speaking of controversial views on sex, Kanye West, according to reports, might start a porn company. That is very unfortunate. There's a report out now. Here's a report from Marca. We'll see if it happens. This studio will be titled Yeezy Porn, according to reports. Why does this matter? Well, it's in the news in part because he has his sights set on this guy, Mike Mose, who's the ex-husband of Stormy Daniels, who is the porn performer who's at the heart of one of the Trump criminal prosecutions. He wants that guy to help run the porn studio. But it makes news not because some hip-hop mogul is involved in weird, depraved sex stuff. It's because Kanye seemed like he wasn't going to do that. Remember, some years ago, he came out with this album, Jesus is King. I'm not a huge fan of this kind of music generally, but of all the Kanye music, Jesus is King had some good bops on it, man, you know? And then he was hosting these Sunday services, which were eccentric and a little bit weird, but they were at least about God. They were at least religious in their tenor, and they brought a lot of people together. And it just seemed much better and more edifying, if not even sanctifying, than so much of what's out there in the pop culture. And then it looked like he was fighting to save his marriage, and according to one report, while he was making an album, he said no one can fornicate on the set, and he was reading the Bible a lot. And I don't even think it was just a performance. I have a number of mutual friends with Kanye West, and I heard across actually all sorts of different areas of my life. For some reason, I keep overlapping with Kanye West. And I heard that the guy was sincere about it. And now this. Which reminds me of a very important fact that you should keep in mind. It is the sower who went forth to sow. And while he soweth, some fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and ate them up. And some fell upon stony ground where they had not much earth, and they sprung up immediately because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had not root, they withered away. And others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them, and others fell upon good ground, and they brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. The parable of the sower, really, really important here. Kanye is a troubled guy. He's been pretty open about some of his troubles, so it's unfortunate to see this. The guy who more than 15 years ago now probably had Jesus Walks. Jesus Walks. Big song. And then he kind of went away into more degenerate art for a while. And then he comes back with Jesus is King and he's reading the Bible and that's great. And now the prospect of a porn studio speaking openly on podcasts about how God didn't answer his prayers in exactly the way that he demanded that God answer them. And so he was kind of turning away from religion. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because it's a reminder. A lot of people think you live in the wrong way and then you repent and you see the right and you respond to God's grace and great, now everything's totally rosy. Everything can be totally rosy. But when that happens, the devil is going to come after you with 10 times the strength that he had, 100 times the strength that he had previously. And if you stumble and you fall unrepentantly and you continue to stumble, you're going to be worse off than when you started. You're going to be worse off than before you turned your mind and responded to God's grace and started going down the right way. Now, what you can do right now is subscribe to the Michael Knowles Show YouTube channel. Smash the like button and ring that bell, baby. Turning away from the depraved life to the trad life, the libs are still furious over the phenomenon of the trad wife. You've heard this term. I think a lot of these terms are just kind of silly. Hear this term now, trad wife. What is trad wife? It means a normal woman from 30 years ago. Now that's a bizarre category. Or even I've heard this phrase pop up, trad cons. What's it? All the time people ask, Michael, what's your political ideology? Are you a paleo, neo-populist, libertarian, anarcho-trad, classical? What are, and I think, I'm a conservative man. Grow up. Grow up. That's what I am. I'm a conservative. I want to conserve things. I want good stuff. I want more good stuff. I want less bad stuff. That's my political ideology. I guess it's kind of an anti-ideology. Grow up. But they do this now. The libs try to take these terms and they use them to, well, again, to quote Norm MacDonald, to marginalize normal people. One time when Norm was asked the meaning of the term cisgender, he said, oh, cisgender is a term used now to marginalize normal people. That's true here. The trad wife, the rise of the trad wife. Why some women say they are opting out of work. Key points. TikTok's latest trad wife and stay-at-home girlfriend trend shows an idealized view of adhering to very traditional gender roles. Staying at home necessitates a degree of privilege that fewer young adults have these days. If anything, women are working more, not less, and foregoing paid labor comes at a steep economic cost. Some men are scaling back at work, a recent study shows. Okay, sure. Stay-at-home girlfriend is not a great idea. You should just get married. Stay-at-home girlfriend is called a concubine. TikTok's latest trad wife trends show an idealized view of adhering to traditional gender roles. Sure, I guess that's true. Wouldn't you say, though, that the last century and a half of feminism shows an idealized view of rejecting gender roles? Because we've been told women reject gender roles. Woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Don't get married. Don't have kids. Don't just go work in the widget factory. Get used by 100 guys sexually and then be cast to the side. And that'll make you really happy and empowered. It doesn't, does it? So which is the more idealized view? The trad wife phenomenon, meaning people just going back and doing the things that everyone did forever, or the feminist view, which keeps promising utopia, never quite pays off.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
More to say on this. First, though, the 2024 NFL draft is here. I'm learning right now. And Crane & Company will be live streaming the entire first round starting at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight. Not only will watching this live stream give you a reprieve from Roger Goodell and any woke commercials you may be forced into watching, but you will also get in-depth analysis and breakdowns of the draft's top players and team needs going into the 2024 season. They will be live streaming on all platforms, including DW+, YouTube, X, and Rumble. So be sure to join tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern and leave your thoughts in the live chat. My favorite comment yesterday is from a return after a while to the favorite comment, slap my base, 3825, who says, you don't need AI to tell someone's political affiliation. You can do that just as easily by their clothes, hairstyles, and especially the bumper stickers on their cars. Yes, that's true. I was just talking with a friend of mine about this last night. I covered the story yesterday that, wow, AI can predict your political views just by looking at you. I thought, yeah, I can do that too, because I have eyes and I'm willing to acknowledge patterns. But it's even funnier than that. AI is pattern recognition. That's pretty much all AI is. AI is trained to recognize patterns and then based on those patterns to recognize other patterns. And that's all it is. It doesn't have a soul, doesn't have free will. It's pattern recognition. But political correctness and wokeness, we call it now, says you're not allowed to recognize patterns. That if you recognize patterns and acknowledge them, that that's prejudice. So at the same time that the libs are pushing AI, this is so great, it's progress, it's the future, they build all the AI and then they get really angry that the AI does what it is built to do. So then they have to go in and install their own political views to say, stop recognizing patterns. Don't, that's very prejudiced and awful if you recognize patterns. Well, in defense of the AI, what else is it supposed to do? That's all it does. It's like saying, hey, here is a cup of coffee. I've just made this cup of coffee and here it is. I'm going to make evermore the perfect cup of coffee. And then one tries the cup of coffee and says, oh no, this is hot and full of caffeine. Oh, this is terrible. We can't have a cup of coffee that's hot and full of caffeine. And they say, okay, well, we'll make the perfect cup of coffee, but it's not going to be hot and it's not going to have caffeine and it's not going to be liquid. And well, at a certain point, you're fighting against yourself. Do you want to do the thing or do you not want to do the thing? The trad wife phenomenon. The libs are so furious about it. They've been pushing these articles every few weeks now for months and months. Here's another warning. Staying at home necessitates a degree of privilege that fewer young adults have these days. It is tough in a tough economy to stay at home. That's true. You know, our grandparents, they were able to buy a house when they were young. And our grandparents, they were able to have a stay-at-home mother. And it's true. There have been changes to the political economy that make it harder. Now that women are expected to work, that changes the way that wages work in this country. Now that we have mass migration, for instance, wages are lowered by mass migration. And so it makes it harder. But also, we have a much higher standard of living than our grandparents had at our age. Our houses are bigger when we have houses, our apartments, you know, or houses even that you could rent, our food, our luxuries, our travel, our technology. We have a much higher standard of living. A lot of people could do it. You could live the trad life. You can't really live the trad life in Midtown Manhattan. You might have to move a little further away from the city. You might not be able to have two cars. You might not be able to go to brunch all the time. You might not be able to have the fanciest clothes or all the latest gizmos and gadgets. And you might have to live at a low. Everything in life has a cost. Well, it just requires a degree of privilege. Yeah, what do you mean a degree of privilege? There's a cost. There's a cost when your wife doesn't work. That you obviously get much less income, and that's going to affect maybe your standard of living. That's true. But everything in life has a cost. That's nothing new about that. If anything, women are working more, not less, and foregoing paid labor comes at a steep economic cost. Yeah, what is that even? That's just a truism. If a woman doesn't get paid by an employer in the formal economy, in the commercial economy, then she's not going to get a paycheck in the commercial economy. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. She's making a choice to do something else. Some men are scaling back at work. Yeah, it's true. If the wife stays home, guess what? The guy's going to have to work more probably because it's expensive. That's true. Why are they so afraid though? Why are the libs so afraid of people desiring to return to the trad life? And what's the trad life? It's just how people lived for most of history. Well, because it threatens their power. Industrialization really helped the libs. Klaus Schwab at the head of the World Economic Forum, he talks about multiple industrial revolutions. He talks about now we are in the fourth industrial revolution. The first industrial revolution is mechanization. The second industrial revolution is the assembly line and electrification. The third industrial revolution is the rise of computing. And now the fourth industrial revolution is supposedly the melding of computers and biology. You know, we're going to become cyborgs and we're going to make everything electronic and not just electronic, but connected to the internet and smart and, you know, constantly processing data. And that's the fourth industrial revolution. And we probably are in the midst of that. Sure. And there are downsides to that. The liberals on the left and on the right, the classical liberals, the libertarians, they'll tell you industrial revolution has been totally great. It's been wonderful. But you're beginning to see creep up on the right. Once again, a criticism of that. Tucker notably has been on that train, but Tucker didn't start that. I mean, that has been a theme of American conservatism for many, many decades now. In fact, it goes back much further than that. I think of the poem Jerusalem by William Blake, who, not saying William Blake was some doctrinaire conservative, but he expressed the kind of uneasiness that many conservatives have, even with the first Industrial Revolution. You know, and did his feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And did the Holy Lamb, and was the Holy Lamb of God on England's verdant pastures seen? I'm probably getting some of the words wrong. But there's a line in there where he refers to these dark satanic mills. We will have Jerusalem builded here among these dark satanic mills. The dark satanic mills were the mills of industrialization, which was viewed as a kind of symbol of hell, a coming of hell on earth, a dehumanization. No longer were humans fully people who were doing all sorts of different tasks throughout the day. But no, they were being reduced to nothing more than cogs in a machine to punch in and punch out on the clock. And there's been a lot of material prosperity that's come out of that, but there's been a dehumanization too. And immediately afterward, you saw effects on family size. All of a sudden, family size gets cut down. As that process continues, you see the political strength even of the family, the building block of society, begin to diminish. And people are looking at that and they say, oh, I don't like that. I actually want the families to be strong again. I want to have a lot of kids. There's more to life than money. I don't think we're all just interchangeable cogs in a machine. I think we're different. We're vibrant. We're different. Different peoples are different. They have their own distinctions that add spice to life and variety. And men and women especially are different, and we're complementary, and we should celebrate that and recognize that. And I want a wife, and I want a trad life, and I want more kids. And that is a threat not just to Joe Biden or the Democrats or the progressives or something. That is a threat to the whole liberal project of the last, I don't know, 150 years. Rant completed. Speaking of Joe Biden, though, we'll get back to Joe Biden now. Really disgusting stuff from Joe Biden in the last few days. Joe Biden was just at a campaign event where in Florida, the libs are making a big deal about Ron DeSantis's defense of unborn life. And Joe Biden was standing there listening to them harangue Ron DeSantis for protecting babies in the womb. And then he did something shocking.
And then we come back here to the state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president. And so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks.
15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks. And Joe Biden, for those of you who are only listening, he made the sign of the cross. I'm trying to see exactly when he starts it. The most charitable read on this I could say is he made the sign of the cross when she mentioned that DeSantis ran for president, as if to say, oh, RIP his presidential campaign, which is flippant and glib and kind of taking, you know, the central fact and the central mystery of the Christian faith in a vain and flippant way. Because the sign of the cross is an articulation of the Trinity. That's the central mystery of the Christian faith. But also it's a representation of the crucifixion, which is, you know, when our Lord is sacrificed to redeem mankind. This is the pivot of history. The cross being the axis on which the whole cosmos turns. And so that's the most charitable view of it. What most people are taking from this is that he's making the sign of the cross about how awful Ron DeSantis's pro-life law is. 15 weeks wasn't good enough. They have to reduce it to 6 weeks. He makes the sign of the cross. If that's what he's doing, that is as blasphemous as it gets. He's invoking religion, the central expression of the religion, to what? To advocate for the murder of babies? Which is, we don't even need to, form our own conclusions here, which his church says with authority, dogmatic authority or magisterial authority for 2,000 years, says is evil. I can't make sense of it. Now, I'd be inclined to take the charitable view, except Biden has a pattern of this. At another recent campaign event, also in Tampa, Florida, he starts mocking the Bible.
Bragged how proud he was to get rid of Roe v. Wade over. He took credit for it. He said there has to be punishment for women exercising their reproductive freedom. His words, not mine. He described the Dobbs decision as a miracle. Maybe it's coming from that Bible he's trying to sell. Whoa. I almost wanted to buy one just to see what the hell's in it. Folks, it was no miracle. It was a political deal to get rid of Roe v. Wade. A deal. A political deal he made with the evangelical base of the Republican Party to look past his moral, if they look past his moral and character flaws in exchange for his commitment to appoint justice to the Supreme Court who would overturn Roe.
So there it is. Don't tell me that I'm being unfair and I'm misreading what Joe Biden's doing there when he makes the sign of the cross during an invective against the cause of life and in defense of abortion. Here he is. He's advocating for abortion. He's advocating for killing babies in the womb. Then he makes fun of Trump. He says, you know, he's selling that Bible. He probably figured out that he's going to support unborn babies. He doesn't want to murder them because he's reading that Bible of his. Ha, 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 ha. They're all laughing. Ha, ha, ha. He goes, I almost bought one of them Bibles. I just wanted to see what's in it. You guys hear about this? You hear about this? What's the deal with these Bibles, huh? When you guys hear about this? Doing a comedy routine up there about the Bible. But what's he mocking? His defenders will say, well, he's just mocking Trump. He's mocking Trump's Bible. Trump's just selling the Bible, man. It's just the Bible. He didn't write a new one. He didn't do it. It's not the new Trump translation. He's just selling the Bible. A lot of people sell Bibles. That's good to have. You should buy multiple copies of the Bible if you can. So that's what he's mocking. He's mocking the Bible and he's mocking religion. He's mocking the Trinity. He's mocking God. That's his shtick. And he's specifically doing it when it comes to protecting babies in the womb, which is a non-negotiable issue for his putative faith, which he mocks. And he mocks it because it's not really his faith. When his putative faith comes into conflict with liberalism, he picks liberalism. Simple as. All right, it is Theology Thursday, and I am sitting down with For King and Country. The show continues now. You don't want to miss it. Become a member. Use code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans.